Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Dursen, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. All right, well, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Tom LeComp.
And I'm Gavin Dursen, and this is Keep It Simple. Thanks for joining us today.
And we're talking about non-traditional forms of church. Some people call them simple churches, house churches, micro churches, organic churches. And if you need a definition of that, I encourage you to go back to previous podcasts and try to figure all that out. But hey, Gavin, what do you do to train the people in your church?
Well, I think leadership development is extremely important in simple church. And I would encourage anyone that hasn't viewed, there's a wonderful resource. It's available on our website. I'm sure you can just Google it as well. But House to House Ministries and Tony and Felicity Dale and Neil Cole and some others that put together a video called Upside Down Leadership. It's on online. You can find it on our website at simplechurchalliance.com under the introduction section. It's just a wonderful, I think, summary of what simple church leadership is all about. But I really believe that a good question when I think about leadership development, specifically as it relates to simple church, is to come back to this question of what did leadership development look like for Jesus? And how did he develop leaders? Because, mm-hmm. as we've said before, I really think that what we're doing and what we hope to be doing is making disciples in the tradition of Jesus and letting church emerge naturally from that endeavor. And so if we think about Jesus' methodology and the way he made disciples, the way that he developed those leaders, then I think that becomes very instructive in what developing leaders in simple church, because again, I don't separate just, to me, simple church is simply Christianity. It's following Jesus. And so if we're going to emulate Jesus in what he thinks and believes, then I think it's to our benefit to emulate him as best as we can in our day and age in the way in which he sought to develop leaders. And so
describe that a little bit. How did Jesus develop his leaders?
Well, I look at a lot of things when I think about how Jesus developed leaders. I think about it was relationship. Yeah. Relationship was his methodology. And I think that Jesus' methodology also, when I look at him in the scriptures, it involved on-the-job training. It also involved just-in-time delivery, to utilize some of these modern terminologies that businesses like to use. But the content and the message oftentimes was derived on the pathway. It was very much coming from within. So
situational learning.
It was situational. So yeah. He led a lot of times. I think it's interesting when you think about the content of Jesus' message. Oftentimes, he started with where people were. He scratched people where they were itching. So you don't usually see Jesus showing up into a situation saying, I have a message that I'm going to walk you through over the next couple of weeks. But there was an issue, and he addressed it as it was happening. And then he taught on that issue in the moment.
He uses every situation as an object lesson.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
I agree.
And I think that it was, you know, again, it was experiential as much as it was anything. So there was content, there was knowledge involved, but it was oftentimes, I want to send you guys out, go and do these things, and then come back and let's talk about them. You see that in Luke 10, which talked about as a great model for even simple church or planting. But so you see that. You see him giving people the loaves and saying, you feed them. And he involving people in the ministry and in the exercise. And then, you know, you can't separate, I think, another huge principle is just the fact that God chose to come and pretty much spend 3 years, maybe even less, some would say, with a group of 12 people. He there was a focus on just a few people.
Yeah.
And then he leaves. And so there is this sense in which...
And they take up the mantle.
They take up the mantle. And so, you know, the idea that one person would, be training leaders for 20 years and then never leaving them to become leaders themselves, I think is something that was foreign to just God's plan. He clearly, and even began telling them, I'm leaving you. You know, everything you kind of get the sense he was doing was done such that he knew he was going to be leaving, and then it was going to be left up to these folks, and the Holy Spirit would then come and guide and teach them and lead them into all understanding and take it the rest of the way. So there was a dependency upon the Holy Spirit there to guide people when he wasn't going to be there. Now everything was done, I think, with that in mind.
I know you guys meet every Wednesday night in Lexington for, I guess, some kind of discipleship training. What do you guys do then?
Oh, we meet once a month. That's just kind of been an opportunity for people that are leading simple churches to get together and to pray for each other, to share struggles, to share victories, to encourage each other. And we've done some different activities there. But, you know, I'll be honest, Tom, I think if someone came to me and they said, well, how do you develop leaders, and what does that practically look like? You take these principles you were just sharing with me about Jesus's leadership. How does that flesh itself out practically? And I honestly think that if you take a look at something that like the Life Transformation Group that I know we've talked about on this podcast before, Neil Cole has written about that, and I've shared before that I didn't want to do that at first because it was Neil Cole's idea, and sometimes just copying people's ideas seems kind of cheap, but the reality is that it's so simple and so basic, and I think it really captures the heart of what he shares in that. It really captures the essence, I think, of a lot of the methodology of Jesus, in the sense that it's relation-based, it's respecting the idea that the Holy Spirit is the leader, and that both people are students, really. There's not one person that's the superior in that friendship and that relationship. But the Life Transformation Group, I think, is a very practical, tangible, easy, simple, and reproducible way to make leaders and help people grow into becoming leaders. Mm-hmm. And if someone is willing to engage in that process and to be faithful to it, then I really don't think there's probably a better way of me helping another believer or a non-believer even grow to become a leader within the kingdom.
Yeah, and Life Transformation Groups, if you're interested in that, you can go to Neil Cole's website. It's cmaresources.org, cmaresources.org. That's a shameless plug for Neil Cole's resources and ministry. But we admire him, and we think he's doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, and the basics of that is that you're committing to a friendship with someone where, you know, you see the inner circle of Jesus where he was even had the 12, but there was even the 3 that he was even more seemingly engaged with. So, hey, we may have a group of 12 or so in a simple church community, but there's probably going to need to be a few others that we're even going to be close with, and we're going to be most intimate with them. They're going to really know our struggles. And so there's this idea of accountability that we're going to be transparent.
Mentorship. Yeah.
And we're going to read the Bible. We're going to really read it a lot throughout the week. We're going to read 20, 30 chapters. And then when we we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. And we're going to get together and share those things that the Holy Spirit has taught us.
Okay.
And we're going to learn to listen to God. And then we're going to really have that focus on obedience that Jesus did. You know, his school of learning was really about obedience. It wasn't so much about just gathering information, but it was about helping people to obey the commands. And so that's a big part of Life Transformation Group. Hey, Jesus, I kept reading this and I kept thinking of this person that the Lord keeps telling me that I need to love them. Okay, I'm going to help you this week by praying for you and holding you accountable. What is that going to mean for you? You know, next week, share with me a way that you practically love this person. You know, that kind of idea that you're helping people to really learn to obey the Holy Spirit. And so then there's praying for people that Neil encourages too, praying for people that aren't yet believers, that you will be used by God to go reach them. And then when they become believers, you have a kind of a structure to invite them into where they can actually start learning to become a disciple of Jesus as well. Mm-hmm. And then eventually they'll go and help others do likewise.
I made a list of things that I would like to see, no matter how we do it, through relationships or through classes or, you know, I hate to say the word program, but however we do it, I would like to see for everyone in the house church, not just the leaders, but for everyone who wants to participate, I think we need to stress biblical literacy. I think we need to stress the Bible. There is an appalling lack of biblical literacy in the Christian church, evangelical church today. I mean, I dare you to Google Jay Leno, Jaywalking Bible, and there's a video where Jay Leno goes through the streets of, I don't know, Los Angeles, and he just finds people off the street and he asks them biblical questions, like who are the apostles, who are the epistles, you know, things like that. And it's just sad that people don't know anything about the Bible. So let's teach the people of the church how to absorb the Bible, how to take it in, how to read it for all it's worth, and how to do some simple hermeneutics and some simple interpretation. Because I think, you know, where this false teaching comes from is we don't have the ability to read the Bible for ourselves, and we just listen to whatever we hear on the radio or on the TV.
Yeah, or
we think that's the truth.
Yeah. But, or my favorite is that, you know, people doing Bible studies, and when you ask them, what they're reading, it's a book. I mean, I've heard that so many times, like, oh, well, I got to go to Bible
reading
study.
Somebody's book.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, we're actually reading this book. It's like, oh, okay. And so there's a lot of that, and there's good in that. I mean, I've enjoyed a book, too. I mean, I think books are very helpful in perhaps giving us a different lens to understand the Scriptures from sometimes, you know. That's one thing I love about, and you know, I've been somebody over my life who I struggle to read. I like to, if I have the opportunity to sit down and read a book by myself or go meet and talk with somebody, I'm always the one that chooses, I'll drop the book and or even read the Bible to go talk to somebody, you know, have an interaction with people. So, you know, I have really, the last several years of my life, I've really just tried to commit to reading the more of the Bible and having an account of knowing that every week I'm going to sit down with somebody. You know, I'm really a believer. It's like there isn't just no substitute for reading the Bible.
Right.
And I love that about...
You don't have to take a course on reading the Bible. You just read it.
Yeah, if you just read it, you'll be amazed at the insights, the Holy Spirit. You know, I really believe that what the leadership void sometimes is because I don't believe we really do believe as a church, as a body of Christ at large, that the Holy Spirit really is capable of doing what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do, which is to come that would guide us and lead us into all understanding. Mm-hmm. We don't really believe that the Holy Spirit can do that. And the thing I love about, whether it's Life Transformation Group, call it what you want, or things like that, just the idea of believing that the Holy Spirit can teach me and lead me. And the Holy Spirit lives in you and in me, and we do see the relationship aspect of Jesus. So it's not void of relationship that the Holy Spirit, I think, speaks and works. But if me and you sit down and commit to reading the Bible, and we read a lot of it, and maybe we read the same five chapters five times this week, but or however, there's no rule on that, but that we could get together and that the Holy Spirit, through you and me, will really bring that Scripture to life. It will penetrate our hearts. We will understand it, and it will change us, and it will change our lives. I think just regaining that trust in that, it takes the pressure off, one, that I'm not good enough to be a leadership, to be a leader, or to train someone else to be a leader. Well, you don't have to be when you really put the Holy Spirit in it and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does, which is it leads and guides and directs and illuminates and teaches people.
Yeah. Another thing I'd put on that list, besides Bible, you know, literacy, Bible reading, Bible study, is the other spiritual disciplines: prayer, fasting, giving, maybe even solitude. You know, quiet time, with the emphasis on prayer. You know, after the Bible study, the emphasis being on prayer, because you know, my prayer life, I admit, is very anemic. It's not what it should be. But, you know, time after time in history, the history of missions, the history of ministry, you see that nothing happens in God's kingdom without a whole lot of prayer.
Yeah.
And we just don't know how to pray. And it's not like there's anything to it except investing the time to do it.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.